Chapter 9. Mr. Rochester's Secrets. After a little time at Thornfield, I knew that Mr. Rochester and I were becoming friends. He was beginning to trust and like me. Many times, when we walked in the garden or sat by a fire in the evening, he told me strange stories of his life and adventures. One day he said to me,
"Jane, it is strange that I tell you my secrets, but I know you will never tell anyone else. I know also that my stories can't have a bad effect on you. Your mind and heart are too strong and good for that."
I felt proud and happy that Mr. Rochester trusted and liked me so much. I thought about him a lot of the time. I was aware of his faults, but I also saw his kindness and goodness to me. From then on, my happiest times at Thornfield Hall were when I was with him. I could not imagine a more wonderful friend. One night, I woke up and heard a soft noise. I thought that someone was standing outside my bedroom. I got out of bed and said, "Who is there?" Suddenly, I heard a strange cry. It sounded like the cry of an animal. Then I heard a door close loudly on the top floor, where Grace Poole stayed. Did she make the noise? I wondered. I opened the door and saw that the hall was full of smoke. The door of Mr. Rochester's room was open, and I saw the smoke was coming from there. Immediately, I forgot my own danger and ran into his room. He was sleeping in his bed, with fire and smoke all around him. Even the bed was on fire. "Mr. Rochester, wake up! Wake up!" I screamed, throwing water on the bed to put out the fire. Not until the fire was almost out did he wake up. He was surprised to see that he was wet.
"Jane, what is going on? Is there a flood in this house?"
he said. "No, sir," I answered. "There's been a fire."
"Jane Eyre, is it you and your magic?"
he asked.
"Did you put a spell on me again? Did you want to drown me this time?"
I did not answer this. "Sir, please get up. Someone has tried to kill you." I told him about the strange sounds I had heard outside my room and about the fire. He turned very pale and thought for a few moments. "Do you want to talk to Mrs. Fairfax or the other servants, sir?" I asked.
"No, we shouldn't wake them. Wait here for a moment. I'm going up to the top floor. I'll be back soon."
I waited in his room for what seemed like a very long time. When he came back, he looked worried.
"Jane, did you see anything when you opened your bedroom door?"
he asked, looking carefully at me. "No, sir."
"But you heard a strange laugh?"
"Yes, I've heard it before. It was like a strange laugh I heard once. I think it is Grace Poole. She laughs like that."
"Well, perhaps it was Grace Poole who started this fire. I must think about what to do. I'm glad you're the only person who knows about this. Don't tell anyone. Now, go back to your room."
"Good night then, sir," I said, walking towards the door.
"What? Are you leaving me already?"
he said. He looked surprised, although he had just told me to go. "You said I should go to my room, sir."
"But not without a kind word or two first. Why, you've saved my life, Jane. I don't like to owe anyone anything, but with you it's different. I'm happy to owe you my life."
Suddenly he took both my hands in his.
"When I first saw you, Jane, I knew that you would be good for me. I saw it in your eyes when I met you. I was right to like your smile and your face."
He spoke softly, and there was a strange light in his eyes. "I'm glad I was awake, sir," I said. I was trembling, and I knew I could not control my feelings much longer. I needed time to think. But he still held on to my hands, looking at me. Then I thought of a way to leave. Sir, I think I hear the servants moving, I said.
Well, leave me then,
he said, and let go of my hands. I could not sleep for the rest of the night. My mind was full of strange ideas and deep emotions. I felt that I was falling in love with Mr. Rochester, even though he was mysterious sometimes.